The Israel Report with Rolene Marks.
Did I surprise you by crossing a little bit early this afternoon, Ro?
You know I'm waiting patiently to talk to you because, hey, where am I going?
Yeah, that is true. That is true. We're talking to another Israeli this afternoon saying it's quarantine again. We tend to forget that because although our numbers are a lot worse than you, we are not in quarantine. I raised with you yesterday, or it might have been the day before, the fact that B'Tselem, the human rights organization, had some very damning things to say about Israel. They came out and said it, that in their opinion, Israel is an apartheid state. Who are they representing? What are they doing? Unpack this for us, Rolene.
Well, we largely think that B'Tselem are representing themselves. It's no big secret that they get their funding from organizations and from governments who are extremely anti-Israel, and that's their agenda, and that's what they push. You know, it used to be that we were proud to have in our democracy organizations like Shovrei Shtika, Breaking the Silence, or B'Tselem, because, you know, that's the hallmark of a democracy. You're entitled to monitor, you're entitled to criticize. But there comes a time where it goes over the line between legitimate criticism and what your mandate is there for, to pushing a very, very specific agenda. And in this case, this is making the accusation that Israel is an apartheid state, which of course has been picked up by a lot of mainstream media. And as we've learned from the mainstream media over the last couple of days, they seem to be very, very good at jumping on stories that are anti-Israel without doing the homework and the background. And I really would advise people to read a fact sheet compiled by NGO Monitor, which is an organization that monitors these kind of NGOs, how they get their funding, what their intentions are, and where the funding goes to. You know, as I've just said, we've always been, you know, kind of proud that we have these diverse groups. You know, we don't see it on the other side where they are allowed to have their say and they're allowed to criticize the government. There have been exposés that have exposed the fact that these type of organizations, the more ridiculous their stories are or their comments are, the more funding they get. And, you know, B'Tselem is one of those that basically the accusations of apartheid have even been discredited by the United Nations. And we know that the United Nations are not fans of the state of Israel. But the accusation of Israel as an apartheid state is one that's been thrown out by the United Nations. It doesn't hold water, which only once challenged a lot did the Guardian in the United Kingdom, who originally published the story, manage to put as an end piece or addendum to their original article. But the damage is done, and B'Tselem are well aware of that. And, you know, a lot of people, including myself, including people like legal expert Eugene Kontarovich, very, very rational people, in my opinion, like Alan Johnston, the editor of Feather magazine, which some people say, you know, is very, very leftist. And, you know, people who have worked in this space, people like Joshua Washington, who's the son-in-law of the Reverend Kenneth Meshwe, people like Simon Ploska from Honest Reporting Now with UN Watch, and various others. We've all commented on this kind of accusation. And, you know, first of all, we need to look at why the accusation of apartheid. And this lends itself to that campaign to delegitimize Israel in the international arena. You know, if you're not going to be able to defeat Israel militarily, maybe through lawfare, and that's clearly not working either. And, you know, the other day I said we have to make a distinction between Arab Israelis and Palestinians. And it's a very, very important distinction to make, because it lends itself or it falls into this very, very argument. You know, Arab Israelis, and yes, there is racism in Israel. I think we have to accept that. We have to own it, and we have to work towards improving it. And I'm not going to say yes, but you know, other countries, we're not talking about other countries. We're talking about Israel. But Arab Israelis are fully enfranchised. They have the right to vote. They are represented in government. They have the freedom of movement. They have the freedom of expression, as we saw yesterday with protests against the prime minister. They have the freedom to talk to the media, which is something that did not happen in apartheid South Africa. I grew up during the apartheid years. You grew up during the apartheid years. Sure. We know full well the suffering. In fact, maybe we don't know full well, and it's something we should talk about more often, the suffering of South African victims of apartheid. And that's where, as a South African, it is particularly painful, because you are organizations like B'Tselem are exploiting the narrative to suit their agenda.
I'm really glad I crossed you a little early, because I want to stay on this issue just for one moment. I want to talk about the Arab-Israeli identity for just a moment. It seems to me there's something incredible happening right now. On the one hand, you're getting more and more Arab-Israelis who seem to be identifying as and calling themselves Palestinian Israelis, which I just do find interesting. And yet, on the other hand, they seem to be moving more and more into the mainstream society, as seen by Bibi's welcome in Nazareth. Interesting, interesting developments in that sector, Rolene.
Well, it's not just that. It's also the increased number of Israeli Arabs serving in the military. Now, I hear some of our more left-leaning listeners saying, yes, but let's talk about apartheid in the West Bank, and let's talk about the occupations, vakule, or et cetera, et cetera. Sometimes I forget that I have to speak English. And, you know, why are we in the situation that we are in? You know, Israel has sued for peace with Palestinian neighbors a number of times. All of these offers have been rejected. You know, we've made security and recognition part of the terms that we will agree to peace. And Israel's not a perfect country. And I know our more right-leaning listeners are going to go, ah, you said the O word and you said Israel's not perfect. But we're not. And that's the reality. So I've happily managed to offend everybody.
Everybody. We haven't quite finished. You can just offend a little more. An article that I saw last week that kind of slipped under the radar, but I also found it interesting. 60 young Israelis refusing to enlist in the army. Is this becoming – the timing of it I found so incredible, because here you've got the UAE and Bahrain and overtures from Saudi Arabia kind of recognizing that the same old isn't going to work anymore, and you've got Israelis now buying into the European narrative of Israel.
Yeah, you know, when you live in Israel, you realize that the refusing to enlist is not always necessarily political. Let's be quite honest there. It's not a big thing in Israel, and that is why, you know, a small group, and 60 really is a small group when you consider the intake every year, get a lot of attention. And of course, it's Israel, so everybody's got a disproportionate focus, ourselves included. We have a disproportionate focus on Israel. But, you know, back to Arab Israelis. Yes, some of them identify as Palestinians politically. Would they go live in a state of Palestine?
You're not so sure.
Most of them will tell you, yeah, maybe not. But then you've also got many Jews, and I'm talking more right, saying they acknowledge themselves as Palestinian Jews, which brings me to the conclusion that this is a very, very, very complex conflict. It's a very complex region. And, you know, to truly understand it, you have to understand that not everything is as black or white. I hate to use that analogy, but is as it seems. There's lots of nuances and lots of hidden layers. We're like one of our favorite things to eat, Simon. We like artichokes.
Yes, oh, I like that. I prefer artichokes to onions. We only have 2 minutes left. You and I could talk for hours on these things, but let's talk about UNRWA and their textbooks, apparently still filled with anti-Jewish incitement, according to a study, which I find remarkable given that they are supported by donations, and I thought that the donors weren't going in for this anymore.
Well, a lot of the donors are starting to withhold their funding, and there's an organization, an NGO called Impact, and they monitor school curricula around the world, not just here, and they've released their study, and their study says that the educational materials used by the United Nations Relief Works Agency, which we know as UNRWA, which serves Palestinian refugees, has found that these materials, and this goes out to 500,000 children, 500,000 children, it contains anti-Semitic racism, anti-Israel kind of rhetoric, encourages terrorism and rejects any kind of peace with the Jewish state. Now, what is even more interesting is that a week or so ago, I reported on the fact that the UAE and Israel are actually working to dismantle UNRWA because it perpetuates the cycle of violence, the cycle of rejection. And, you know, we can't forget the big step taken by the Trump administration to pull a massive amount of funding. And it went to Arab states to kind of pick up the shortfall. And several of those Arab states are saying, you know what, in light of normalization, in light of peace talks, we're not going to cover this shortfall so much anymore. And, you know, it makes me, and I know we've only got like several seconds left, it makes me want to say to the Europeans, you have so much to say about Israel and our neighbors and the conflict, but here's like a radical idea, really radical. You too, South Africa, maybe listen to us in the region and see what's going on and take the lead from those of us in the region and try to enforce your solutions and opinions. Just saying, Simon.
Just saying indeed. Rolene Marks, it's 5:30. We're going to leave it there. Shabbat shalom to you. I'm sure it's going to be a great Shabbat because, like you say, you're not going anywhere.
Where am I going? It's a fasty one today, but Shabbat shalom, Simon.
Shabbat shalom, Rolene.
We'll catch up next week.
We will indeed. Gosh, I love chatting to that woman.
Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.